well, she had this image, this grandmotherly, you know, just wonderful. And she was a grandma. She was wonderful. But she was also steel.
That's former Governor John Engler remembering his lieutenant governor for two terms, Connie Binsfeld, who died Sunday at the age of 89. The Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta covered Connie Binsfeld in the state Senate and then as lieutenant governor. And Susan Demas, an MLive columnist and publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter, both join us to remember the legacy of Connie Binsfeld. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Remind us who Connie Binsfeld was. She's been out of the loop here for a little while. What put her first on the political map here in Michigan?
Well, I there are a few different ways to look at it. One is certainly that she was the first woman to serve as in both the Michigan House and the Michigan Senate, as well as lieutenant governor. You know, but I think maybe. Even more significant than that is, you know, a lieutenant governor, the job doesn't have much of a description other than presiding over sessions of the state Senate. So the position is what the lieutenant governor makes of it and what the governor allows the lieutenant governor to make of it. And and Connie Binsfeld was a lieutenant governor of consequence, that she took a big interest particularly in children's issues. And, you know, the things that she worked on remain state policies to this day in terms of the ability of authorities to become engaged in troubled families where children are being abused or neglected. And the state policy that says that there was during the Engler years, there was a rift within the administration about what to do when families are troubled like that. Do you take the children out and immediately just place them with another, you know, in state custody or with another family never to return? Or do you try and do something to repair these families and eventually bring them back together and restore the parental rights? And Connie Binsfeld thought that it was both the right thing for children and the practical thing to do was the latter. Right. And so the state's, you know, basically governing policy that, you know, wherever possible we try to repair these families, that was the direct result of the work of Connie Binsfeld. And that's just, you know, one thing. You go back to her legislative career and, you know, you look at a lot
started serving in 74, mm-hmm, so she goes mm-hmm. back a ways.
You know, and, you know, she was very active in the environmental bond legislation that created all kinds of cleanup projects, some of them that are you know, still continuing to this day, that she was instrumental in passing the Michigan Sand Dune Protection Act, the one that says that – the one that codified in law the idea that it's kind of stupid to build something on the face of a dune on the Great Lakes, that she was engaged in that. I mean, this was a career that we're seeing the legacy play out to this day. Mm.
She was still considered, though it's being reported, she was considered a surprise pick.
Yes.
By John Engler in 1990. Why?
Well, I guess let's place it in the context of the times. That, you know, typically, and Susan, you can jump in on this, that ticket balancing is something where you try and find someone who brings something that you don't. If your reputation is being, you know, in the center, you want someone who's maybe brings, you know,
more of the base.
More of the base. If you're from one part of the state, maybe you want to find someone from another population
sure.
center, you know, things like that. If you have one type of experience, well, when Rick Snyder was choosing his lieutenant governor, Susan, he chose Brian Kelly because
he had legislative experience, which Rick Snyder did not. So he was able to bring that to the ticket. And oftentimes, especially for the Democratic Party, they do look and they do want a female candidate if the male is at the top of the ticket. Republicans aren't quite so concerned about that usually. But, you know, she was a historic choice to bring that to the ticket, especially at a time when Governor Jim Blanchard had dropped Martha Griffiths, who was his lieutenant governor pick, who was a woman.
Who was given a lot of credit for giving him credibility when he was a member of Congress running, that she was really an iconic figure in national Democratic politics as well as Michigan Democratic politics. And the Blanchard administration decided that it was time for her to go, but no one told her.
Right. And so for Engler to do this, it was a very Engler-esque move, very canny to choose a woman, and a woman who had achieved so much already and who he had worked with so closely in the Senate. She didn't bring the ticket balancing in terms – she also –
They were both from the legislature.
She was not from population centers.
She's
she was from Traverse
North.
City,
mm-hmm.
and he was from Beale City. But looking back – It was an excellent choice, and people really respected it. Engler was a person who was not afraid to break the rules, and it's probably one reason why he was able to achieve that surprise election.
What's the sense from folks up at the Capitol remembering Connie Bensfeld now?
There, because of term limits, there aren't that many who do.
Right.
But, you know,
maybe their fathers remembered her.
Yeah. Connie's nickname, and she was aware of it, was Mrs. Butterworth, because she sort of had that grandma thing, going.
Matronly.
She never, at least in my experience, she never got visibly angry, but she did have a small smile to be feared. Because she was actually a very canny political player, that she knew how to maneuver through the shoals of politics and policymaking and get her way, and she would best some pretty seasoned smart players, including on occasion the person who would become or was her boss, John Engler.
Yeah.
We should also say that Engler observed there was one other thing that attracted her to the ticket, which was. At the time, he was very, very much an underdog, and he said, well, she actually thought we could win this, and so that added points as well.
We're talking with the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta and Susan Demas of Inside Michigan Politics about the late Lieutenant Governor Connie Bensfeld. Have political divisions intensified at the Capitol since she served as LG? Does she already belong to a different era?
I would say yes. I mean, certainly she served in the legislature pre-term limits. She was known for working with Democrats on legislation, even though she was certainly a conservative. Nowadays, it's very hard to build relationships. There's very little bipartisanship to be had. Given this context, it would be very difficult to see a Connie Bensfeld today.
Although it's kind of funny, you look at the difficulties that this governor has had with, the International Bridge in Detroit, mm-hmm. with road funding, with the Medicaid expansion, which is not entirely done, that,
right.
Rick Snyder could certainly use a Connie Bensfeld.
Absolutely. And
did she successfully soften the perception of Governor Engler?
No.
That is part of this equation, though. That is part.
I would disagree. I think she did with the female vote. I do. She was very focused on children's issues, on domestic violence. Those are issues that currently Republicans don't talk a lot about. But during that era, she made very significant changes in those areas, and I think that was appealing to suburban women.
It may have been. I just don't think that. There, you could really soften John Engler's image, but she did, in her own right, bring those things that Susan is talking about, to the table, and perhaps in a way that they wouldn't have been otherwise. And certainly, I don't know about to the rest of Michigan, but certainly to the culture in Lansing, she brought a lot of credibility to those questions because of her work on them.
Moving on, while I have you both here, let's talk a little bit about the State of the State speech coming up on Thursday. Any particular expectations here? Is the governor apt to mention the budget surplus and how that ought to be spent? Is this the forum for a comment on the budget surplus?
I imagine that it will be mentioned but not dwelled upon, in part because that will be dealt with more substantially in early February with the rollout of the state budget. But I mean, he will want to claim it as
a result
as an
policy.
Indicator of success. Yeah.
And Susan Demas, in your latest MLive column, I'd like to ask you a question about that. You write that in the State of the State, Governor Snyder, quote, needs to plot his own comeback. What do you mean?
Well, he has had a lot of successes, but he's also had a bumpy ride, especially with his own party as of late. You know, the Medicaid expansion was overall a success, although it was delayed, but he had to fight tooth and nail for that. Road funding, he's gotten nowhere on it with his party, and that was at the top of the list for his last State of the State. That's certainly not something that he wants to walk into an election year not being able to claim any victory on. And you also have this budget surplus, which, you know, is kind of an instance of more money, more problems. Now you have his own party undoing part of his 2011 tax reform, which included keeping the state income tax rate at 4.25%. They see money in the bank, and they want to give it back to taxpayers as it's an election year. But, you know, Governor Snyder has said that that's a fine place to leave it, and that helps balance out all of the business tax cuts that were passed. So in his State of the State, he needs to reestablish himself as the leader of the Republican Party, not somebody that they run roughshod over.
You know, it'll be sort of interesting that you know, he's going to use this to make the case for his reelection, although it will have to be oblique and subtle. But I'm wondering, who will he be making that case to? Will it be to the Republican base that he needs to secure, or will it be to the more independent voters? You know, you go back to his first State of the State address as governor. That was an address that was so centrist in its themes that it almost demanded a Republican response. And so it'll be interesting to see, which side of Rick Snyder we see in this particular address.
It's interesting, since we're talking about the Engler administration, though, clearly the one of the great divides is that the executive then was part of the base, and today the executive is the man in the middle.
And that is
very,
a huge
very
change.
Much so. Yeah,
yeah.
So. Although I wonder where John Engler controlled the Republican Party in Michigan in a way that Rick Snyder just does not. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, he seems to find the party aspects, the partisan
right.
aspects of holding political office to seem sort of tawdry.
There's no way that a John Engler would have tolerated the sideshow that National Committeeman Dave Ajima has become.
No.
But Rick Snyder seems to, not want to wade into that territory very much.
Yeah. Rick Pluta is the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Susan Demas is a columnist for MLive and the publisher of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.